You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Ralph Abernathy from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Newton, North Carolina. Good morning, Pastor Abernathy.
Good morning, Andy.
So good to have you as our guest this morning. Looking forward to studying in Matthew chapter 16 today. Tell us about your congregation, Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Newton, North Carolina.
Well, our congregation is approximately 120 years old, and we're a small congregation located just outside of Newton. Highly liturgical. We've got some good, faithful members here, and it's a joy to be here. I've been here 14 years.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry there of Mount Olive in Newton, North Carolina. Where is, for those of us not familiar with North Carolina geography, where is Newton?
It's about 45 minutes northwest of Charlotte.
All right. Very good. Well, let's take a look at what we're going to study today. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 28. What would you like for us to know as we prepare to study?
Well, there's actually one high point in the reading for today. Peter confessing Jesus as the Christ. Jesus is going to begin his journey to Jerusalem, where he will suffer and die and be raised again. And he has been instructing his disciples and who he is, and they've seen his miracles, they've heard his teaching. And he goes into the district of Caesarea Philippi and asks, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And he gets various answers. And he asks the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter is a spokesman of the disciples' answers, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." After this is a high point. Then Jesus tells what kind of Christ he will be. He foretells his death and resurrection, and Simon Peter doesn't like that. He rebukes him. Jesus then rebukes Simon Peter. Peter could not imagine that the Christ, a figure of glory, would suffer and die. After that, Jesus tells his disciples that not only will he face suffering, death, and resurrection, but those who wish to follow him would have to deny themselves and experience the same thing he did in some way. They would walk in the way of the cross.
All right, very good. We are looking at Matthew chapter 16 today, verses 13 through 28. We're studying with Pastor Ralph Abernathy from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Newton, North Carolina. If you have a question or a comment along the way, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or you can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look, Matthew chapter 16. Beginning at verse 13. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. All right, let's take a look. When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Pastor?
Mm-hmm. Well, Caesarea Philippi was named after Caesar, of course, and Philip, one of Herod the Great's sons, renovated it, and so he stuck his name on to the end. There was a shrine to Pan in this district. So Jesus asked his disciples in a place that was once devoted to pagan worship. He asks his disciples who people say the Son of Man is in a place that is voted or has been named after the head of the Roman Empire, the emperor, and also one of the tetrarchs of the Palestine area. He asked it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So he asks his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He wants to highlight the popular opinions of the day about him against the true confession of who Jesus is, what the Son of Man, what the Christ came to do. Yes.
Who do people say that the Son of Man is? This is quite a question. Who do people say that the Son of Man is?
And it's a question people are asking today. And there's a lot of confusion regarding that question, regarding the answer to that question, as there was back during the lifetime of our Lord. The disciples give the answers. Some say John the Baptist, as Herod thought, John the Baptist come back from the dead. Others say Elijah, who was prophesied in Malachi as coming back before the day of the Lord. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. So Jesus is recognized as someone who speaks with authority. We've heard that earlier in the Gospels. But people seem to think of him as a prophetic figure. They do not know who exactly he is. So Jesus, comparing the popular opinions of the day, wants the disciples to come to a decisive understanding of who he is and what he came to do.
And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
Yes. Again, these are false understandings. John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Christ, and people were asking about him during his ministry. Could this be the Christ? Again, Elijah, one of the great figures of the Old Testament, during the time of the kings, during the time of the apostasy of the northern kingdom. And he was a spokesman for God. Others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Jeremiah is mentioned several times in the Gospel of Matthew, the first and most notable being when he is quoted following the slaughter of the innocents. And thus it was fulfilled, Rachel will weep for her children. So one of the prophets, again, Jesus is assumed to be a prophetic figure. He does speak God's word, although the Pharisees and Sadducees and others thought he was a blasphemer. But the popular opinion is that Jesus is a prophet of some kind, is a good teacher.
Jesus asks them another question, but who do you say that I am?
Okay, and this "you" here is plural. Who do you, or as we would say in North Carolina, who do y'all say that I am? So he wants to hear the disciples' opinion after they have been with him for some time, after they have heard him teach, after they have seen his miracles, his power over nature, his power over demonic spirits, his power over sickness, illness, disease.
Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Yes, and Simon Peter here is the spokesman for the disciples. He is speaking what the disciples have come to believe. Simon Peter is actually prominent in the gospel, but many times Simon Peter tries to distinguish himself from the other disciples, to set himself apart. He makes, when Jesus walks to the disciples toward the boat on the storm-tossed sea, the disciples cry out in fear, and Jesus says, "It is I," or "I am," And Simon Peter replies, Lord, if it is you, bid me come to you upon the water, walking on the water to you. And again, he's trying to separate himself above the other disciples. Of course, Peter's walk upon the water ends rather ingloriously. Also, at the institution of the Lord's Supper, the night that Jesus is betrayed, Jesus tells his disciples what's going to happen to him. He's going to be abandoned. He's going to have to rely exclusively upon his Father in heaven. Peter says, Lord, even if I have to die, I will never forsake you. So, again, Peter falls flat on his face. But here, Simon Peter, speaking on behalf of the other disciples, has hit upon the truth. You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. You are the Son of the living God. So, Peter makes a confession of faith, and this confession of faith has actually been the confession of the church for nearly 2,000 years, that Jesus is unique, that he is much more than a good teacher. He is unique in his person as God made man, the second person of Godhead, taking up our flesh for our salvation.
Hmm. So Simon Peter replied, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think we've covered that. And then verse 17, and Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.
Yes, and this reminds me of what the Small Catechism says in its explanation to the third article of the Creed. On the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel, enlightened and sanctified me with his gifts. Earlier in Matthew, Jesus speaks or prays, thanks his Father in heaven, Lord of heaven and earth. He says, I thank you that you have revealed these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So again, we have the same thing going on here. Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, or son of God. This is not a conclusion you have arrived at through human reasoning. This is a conclusion that Jesus is the Christ, because it has been revealed to him by his Father who is in heaven. And this is the correct confession of who Jesus is. Again, that he is unique, not merely a good teacher, not merely a prophet, but the Son of the living God. Again, come down from heaven for us men and for our salvation.
And
so Peter is blessed by God for this confession of faith, for the faith in Christ that the Father in heaven, the Holy Spirit, has given to him. And thus it is with everyone who believes in Christ as the Savior and who confesses Christ. Again, this is not something we have attained by our own reason or strength, but it has been revealed to us. God takes the initiative here. God is the doer of the verbs. He reveals.
And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Okay, here we have one of the most disputed verses in the entire New Testament. The Roman Catholics, of course, take this as Peter's institution as the first pope. But if you look at the context, it can't be that way, because at first Jesus asked the disciples, who do you, plural, say that I am? And Peter is spoken to individually here by Jesus. I tell you, singular, that you are Peter, Petros, and on this rock, Petra, I will build my church. The rock that Jesus builds his church upon is the confession that Jesus is the Christ. Our Lutheran confessions say that the article on justification, which is related to the article of faith in Christ, of Christ, is the rock upon which the church stands. These are the chief articles of the faith. And you get these wrong, the church falls. You get these right, again, as revealed to you, as revealed to the church by God the Father, the Holy Spirit. The church stands, and it is on this confession that Christ builds his church. Again, Christ takes the initiative. He is the doer of the verb. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's many times understood as though the gates of hell were attacking the church. Gates of hell can be translated Hades, literally it's Hades. And what does that mean? It's a good question for us Lutherans. It's a good question whenever we study the Bible. What does this text mean? Some commentators say that the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, refer to death, that death shall not prevail against the church. And of course, we see that in Christ's resurrection on the third day. The gates of death did not prevail against him, and the gates of death will not prevail against the church. Thus, we have the disciples martyred. Many martyred for the Christian faith, most recently in Egypt and Syria and elsewhere in the Middle East. Death has no dominion over Christ's people, and hell has no dominion either. We see that in Jesus' authority over demons to cast them out with merely a word. So when people see that, they ask, who has given this man such authority? They marvel, where did this man get this authority?
I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Yes. Okay, again, this is singular. Jesus says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. But we can see that later on in this text that Jesus speaks to the entire group of the disciples. Where Jesus says later on in Matthew 18, if two or three of you come together in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. And he is speaking to the disciples in the plural there. So the keys of the kingdom have been given to the church, not strictly to Peter, to the church, first to the apostles, to whom he gives the power of following his resurrection, the evening of his resurrection, to forgive the sins of those who are penitent and to bind the sins of those who are impenitent. This is an exercise of the keys that Jesus speaks of. This is what pastors do. When someone confesses their sin to the pastor, and the pastor forgives them by the authority given to them by the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's all because Christ has died. So the keys of the kingdom of heaven are given to the church at large. In the local congregation, they are exercised by the pastor according to his divine call to serve that congregation.
Verse 20, with just about a minute for this, then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. We see this frequently, don't we?
Yes. That seems a paradox. But again, it goes back to what we saw earlier in verses 13 and 14, Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And we hear all the mistaken opinions on who Jesus is. If Jesus is the Christ, again, the popular opinion of the day is that he would be a conquering hero. He would kick the Romans out of Galilee and Judea, and the kingdom of heaven would be restored as an earthly kingdom. So because of these widely popular misunderstandings, this is why Jesus strictly charges the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Because if word gets out that he is the Christ, people are going to have their own opinions, their own perspective of who the Christ is and what he came to do. And in the next portion of this text, Jesus will tell the disciples what he came to do.
We're studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Ralph Abernathy from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Newton, North Carolina. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying in Matthew chapter 16. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 314-821-0850, 1-800-730-2727. The email address, kfuo@kfuo.org.
Worldwide KFUO, your most trusted radio station for Christian talk and sacred music. Listen on the air, online, and on demand 24 hours a day at kfuo.org. Listen anywhere you are with your Wi-Fi radios, smartphones, computers, and even on your smart TVs. KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Yes, indeed. The next Law and Gospel is an open mic Friday during which you can call in with any question of a theological nature. A lot is happening in the world today, and some of it is theological. And we will do the best we can to answer your questions as well as some emails we have received.
Weekday mornings beginning at 9:30 on KFUO.
Are you willing to share your talents while learning new skills and enjoying fellowship? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is looking for volunteers who can help us share the love of Christ by offering their time and talents at the International Center. For more information, contact Maureen at Volunteer Connection 314-996-1629. 314-996-1629.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Abernathy from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Newton, North Carolina. We are in Matthew chapter 16 today. Pastor, anything else up through verse 20 before we go on to the next section?
Verse 20 actually leads into the next section because Jesus charges the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Again, because misunderstandings widely spread about who the Christ is and what he came to do. And we see that Simon Peter himself, who has been declared blessed by God, is going to show that he shares that misunderstanding.
We are studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Abernathy. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, the email address, kfuo@kfuo.org. All right, verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." All right. So Jesus, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day raised.
Yes. Jesus begins to show his disciples. He continues teaching the disciples about himself, about his ministry, about God's will for him in Jerusalem, and that God is going to raise him again on the third day. He was raised for our justification, Paul writes. So Jesus begins to show his disciples. This is the first of three passion predictions in the Gospel of Matthew. He goes to Jerusalem because elsewhere he says that it is fitting that a prophet should die in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, he says of Jerusalem, city that kills the prophets and those whom God has sent. Now the must there, he must go to Jerusalem, is the must of divine necessity, the must of God's will. He is impelled by his father, embracing the will of his father to go to Jerusalem and suffer and be killed and on the third day be raised again. And it's interesting that Jesus goes to Jerusalem where the temple is because he himself is going to replace the temple. He himself is going to be the final sacrifice for sins. So, again, he begins to teach his disciples this, that it's God's will for him to go to Jerusalem. And Peter takes him aside and begins to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord." Actually, in the Greek, it says, "Mercy to you, Lord," or, and implied there is, "God have mercy upon you, O Lord. This shall never happen to you." Once again, we see that Peter has a false understanding of who the Christ is. And for Simon Peter, you know, he has just been pronounced blessed by God. And suddenly, that blessing is discontinued because once Peter rebukes Christ, saying, "This shall never happen to you," Jesus turns and says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me." In the ESV, it says hindrance. But a hindrance is something that gets in the way. And by Peter saying, "This shall never happen to you," Peter is putting an impediment in front of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem. Again, Peter shows his false understanding of who Jesus is and what he came to do. And we have the same thing in the three temptations in the wilderness earlier in Matthew. Jesus finally sends a devil packing by saying, "Get behind me." Now, that "get behind me" can mean "come after me." Peter, you are trying to lead me, but you get behind me. Get behind me in the place of discipleship, the place of following. And Peter is trying to teach Jesus, but Jesus tells Peter bluntly, "You aren't thinking about the things of God. You're judging what I tell you based upon the opinions of man. You esteem the false understanding of who the Christ is rather than being open to God's determination, God's declaration that Jesus is the Christ, that he is God's Son, as we heard at Jesus' baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man, Jesus says.
Yes. Again, Peter is driven by what people think the Christ is going to do. what he is going to be. This is a false understanding that Peter shows when he says, "Far be it from you, Lord. God have mercy upon you, Lord. These things you say shall never happen to you." But Christ's crucifixion and ultimate resurrection, Christ's suffering and his death and his being raised again on the third day are the things of God. If the cross of Christ is not preached, we have no gospel. We have no gospel of forgiveness. And again, Paul says he was raised for our justification, so God could graciously declare us sinners to be righteous. So the things of God are Christ crucified and resurrected, and this is what the church is to stand upon. If we forsake this message, we have forsaken being a church. So the message of Jesus Christ, his ministry, his life, his death, his resurrection, his ascension into heaven where he rules over all things, these are the things of God. Paul says, set your mind on the things of heaven. You have been seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. So the way we're seated at God's right hand is because Christ went there as our pioneer. He went there ahead of us. And through baptism into Jesus' death and resurrection, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are given that understanding of who Jesus is. We have the mind of Christ, as Paul writes. And the mind of Christ is the mind that sets itself upon the gracious gifts of God for our salvation in Jesus.
We have just about 2 minutes to take a look at this last paragraph here of
okay.
Verses 24 through 28. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. For truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom."
Okay. If anyone would follow me, if anyone come after me, let him walk in the way of the cross by self-denial. Our Lord did that. He loved his neighbor more than himself, you could say, because he was willing to take up the cross and die there as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we follow the pattern of the cross by God's grace. It's not something we can do on our own. Taking up our cross, in some cases, that is a literal martyrdom. But following Jesus as his disciple, following Jesus as he comes to us in the gospel, in word and sacrament, is the only way we can come after him, as Jesus, the resurrected and ascended Christ, gives us the strength to do so, to confess that he is the Christ before a hostile world. It's all Christ. It's all Christ.
Looking over the text as a whole with just about 20 seconds left, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from the text today?
Okay. Whoever would save his life in this world, whoever wants to be a Christian in name only, you could say, who is not serious about the faith, who doesn't embrace the cross, will lose his life or his soul. But again, whoever loses his life for Christ's sake will find it. And the life spoken of here is the life eternal that God gives to his people through Jesus Christ, and on account of his sufferings, death, and resurrection on the third day.
We've been studying the daily New Testament reading with Pastor Ralph Abernathy from Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Newton, North Carolina. Pastor Abernathy, thanks for being our guest this morning, helping us study in Matthew chapter 16.
Well, thank you, Andy.
God bless you and all the saints there at Mount Olive Lutheran Church, Newton, North Carolina. Coming up in just a little bit, Creation Club, because it's Friday. Thanks be to God. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.